This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to bring up whatever's on your mind, comment on whatever we're talking about, or change the subject. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. It's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
And Mark is with us remotely. Are you willing to say where you are, Mark?
I'm in Florida.
Mark is in Florida. Jay and I are in a studio in New Hampshire, but we're all doing the show together. It works out that way with Ian Magic, who's my husband that tells me how to make it work. So I'd like to thank Andrew Valish, who's a silver level amplifier. Thank you to Andrew Valish for being a silver level amplifier. What does that mean? It means that he went to amps. freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com, and signed up to support the show. AMPS stands for advertise, market, promote, and support. And that's what you're doing whenever you sign up on that site and help support the show. So thank you so much to Andrew. We really appreciate it at Free Talk Live.
Bonnie, speaking of Ian, I'd like to hear any news that might be going on. I know that his what are we going to call that? Hearing was backed up, but I don't know much else.
Well, his hearing was backed up because the judge had, or you know, it was like postponed because the judge had COVID, apparently. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and so the next thing, or the only other thing other than that is just what he's been doing day to day. He basically keeps himself busy in jail. Ian's like the founder of our show, and with Mark, and he just went to jail for selling Bitcoin or prison. And if you want to learn more about that, you can go to thecrypto6.com. Basically, he just reads books and is learning Spanish and does yoga and works out and eats. And he is so busy that he acts like he has to schedule with me when he can call me sometimes.
He doesn't have time to chat with his wife. He's busy on the tablet in jail.
Well, he does have lots of stuff he has to get done, and like especially replying to letters. Actually, that's a pretty nice thing. Lots of people send him letters, and he wants to make sure that he replies to them. And also, he reads newspapers that one of his friends in there has a subscription to, and then he sends me show prep. But he also texts me, and the other thing about it is he's always like, Bonnie, it's 21 cents a minute to talk to him on the phone. So if I'm like just silent for a while, he's like, Bonnie, do you have anything else we need to talk about? And I'm like, it's just been 5 seconds. And he's like, it's 21 cents per minute. But I think it's a good thing because he's not too bored to where he's like just sitting around doing nothing. He stays in a good mood because of that. But it looks like we have a caller on the line. Anonymous caller, unscreened caller. What's on your mind?
Hello, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you? Is this TJ?
No, this is not TJ. Some people like to call me Bobby from Lakeland, Florida, but I'm not in Lakeland, Florida no more. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida now, baby. We're moving on up.
Okay. Sounded like a friend for a second, a different person's voice. So what's on your mind, Bobby?
Well, I called you before, and I called Ian right before he went to prison. We talked about a relationship advice problem that I had with, because I was 438 pounds. I had duodenal switch weight loss surgery, and this was 7 months ago. I'm down to 225 pounds, So I've lost over 200 pounds. Bonnie, do you remember all this? You don't
remember
that?
You told me that your girlfriend gave you an STD, or like you thought she might give you an STD.
No. Well, yes, it was close, but so I had a girl. I finally was able. I had a girl that I known for a long time. Okay, and we always kept in contact, but we never did anything. And you know, now it's 15 years later, and I was down to 300 instead of 430 at the time, and I talked her into coming over. Anyways. Well, I didn't know how bad of a nasty thing she's been these past 15 years because I've kept myself pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm bragging, but I was 438 pounds, so it wasn't too hard.
Yeah.
So and she was a big girl. She's probably about 260, she was, or she is.
Hey, guys, no character girls.
Yeah,
some guys.
Yeah. So she came over and everything, and anyways, I did a lot of work, man. I dusted the baseboard. I took a shower. I made sure my teeth were brushed. I made sure mm-hmm. the microwave was clean. It took like 3-4 hours, you know. And then
which one took 3 or 4 hours? To clean the microwave couldn't.
No.
Altogether.
It took 3 or 4 hours to clean, you know, just the bathroom. It wasn't trash all over. I just wanted to make sure everything was real nice. You know what I mean? I wanted to make sure everything was nice. So I spent 3 or 4 hours doing that and everything. And then she comes over and whatnot, and I get to dinner and whatnot. Anyways, now, it's getting, 8, 9 o'clock, and we're going to put the movie on, and she drops the news on me. Well, Bobby, I have herpes. And I'm like, what? Anyways, Bonnie was giving me advice about it. And so that was very nice of her. So I just wanted to let her know, just make sure she knows who I am because it's Bobby. What I wanted to talk about tonight was how Jay Noon finally got through all that DCF stuff. Man, all the DCF stories and stuff that I've seen with my sister.
He's not done yet. It's actually DCYF in New Hampshire. It's the CPS, the Child Protective Service.
DCF, so
but
we
yeah,
call whatever we need.
It's not over yet, unfortunately.
Well, I know, but we listen to Jay. Can Jay talk?
Yeah, so the DCYF particular situation, where that stands is DCYF couldn't get anywhere with us. So when the chief of police basically went to the family court and was like, hey, there's a gross misrepresentation of the facts. I've met the family. There's no neglect or abuse. There's no need to have, any of this go on. The whole affidavit that I read, actually it's not an affidavit. Technically it's a narrative, that I read out on Free Talk Live on my YouTube channel, Jay Noon. On YouTube, there is a clip of me reading it. But so what happened is the day that the family court case got vacated out of family court because of essentially the blatant lies that the chief of police caught the social worker in. That same day, that evening, a Concord police officer put out a warrant for my wife's arrest. So there will be. It looks like there's going to be a jury trial. Well, they're calling a jury trial, but we're demanding a trial by judgment of peers, as the Constitution says, in a court of common law, a court of record, because a court of record includes the court must be a court under common law. And these courts, like Superior Court, which is not a part of the judicial, wasn't created by the Constitution. It was created by the legislature in 1911 or 1901. It basically says it right on their website, New Hampshire Superior Court. They're not a common law court. They're We're not sure what they are. There's some kind of statutory or secret jurisdiction. They never want to tell you what jurisdiction they function in. But anyway, so my wife has been charged with, child endangerment, which they can't even define the word endangerment. There's not the word endangerment is not even defined in their code. In fact, there's a bill in the
just riding around in the car. Sorry, could fall under the way that they act, like endangerment.
Oh yeah, and yeah, any of that stuff because riding around in a car is far more dangerous than allowing a child to nap in a parked car.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, and, you know, during March, you know, when there's snowbanks on the ground. You
with
know,
the AC on.
And, well, climate control on. But anyways, so... You know, this is essentially a retaliation effort on the fact of, on a part of New Hampshire DCYF. And so all the judicial officers, are the judges, the prosecutors, are all 100% compromised because under Social Security Administration, what's called Title IV, and if you, and specifically Title IV-D, provides a 66% incentive to the judicial pension fund in every single state based on the performances of family court to collect child support.
And so they have an incentive.
Yep. So they definitely have an incentive to protect the family court scam. And family court is a court of, you know, it's not a court of our common law. It's not a court of record. It's just another statutory creation. There is no nowhere in the Constitution where the legislature is authorized to create courts that where they can just willy-nilly take children from people and also, like, you know, put them their names on lists and all this stuff. So we did an actual notice. So there's a notice about this. If you go to my website, jnoone.com, that's J-A-Y-N-O-O-N-E, .com, and on the top there's a notice to investigate DCYF. If you click on that, that brings you to a drop form, which actually we're going to update that to a new notice that we're going to put out in a couple of days to get people to sign. But you can just read that notice up there, and you know, it basically kind of explains, you know, that DCYF family courts, you know, don't have any of this authority to do what they do. Well, the problem is all the judges are compromised and all the state employees in general, because if you read, in fact, this is another document that I'm going to link on my website very soon. There's an actual New Hampshire, I can't remember what's called off the top of my head, like program that sort of explains how the social workers are trained, and there's a class that they can take at Granite State University or Granite State College. It's called Maximizing Revenue for DCYF. Actually, they changed the name of it. Yes. So what they do is they actually train the social workers on how to maximize revenue for DCYF through this, what's called Title IV, Social Security Administration Title IV, and it lists Section A, you know, C, E, and whatnot in this particular pamphlet. And if anybody would like to sign up and take this course at Granite State College, there would be. I kind of want to take it. I don't know.
Just to learn what they're telling people.
Just to learn what they're telling. But I'd really love to see if someone would volunteer. That's going to be a lot better. Like, I'm going to have a hard time
cover?
Paying attention to it.
Oh, that's...
But anyways, so...
You know who should is Carlin Borischenko. She goes undercover really well, goes to, like, socialist conventions, and she's all about showing people what they're doing in public schools that they're not telling the parents. So she might be interested. Maybe you could reach out to her.
Yeah, that sounds like a real good idea. We should write that down so I remember to do that.
Okay.
The employees of the state of New Hampshire, you know, one of the things that they're very, very concerned about is their pension funds. And the social workers are essentially trained, and many state employees are essentially under the belief that they need to get this federal money. They need to expand the bureaucracy. There needs to be more people. When they retire, there needs to be, like, four people coming in behind them in order to keep their pension fund
afloat. Like a pyramid scheme.
It's a massive pyramid scheme. And the amount of money that the Social Security Administration is pumping into states based on the performance of DCYF and family court is absurd. And also in this one particular document, which I should have it prepared for show prep next week, this document I'm talking about, it talks about how there's penalties. So what happened with my case is, you know, DCYF social worker who lied, you know, said that the police said that I was an anti-government free stater that lives on a compound with lookouts, and I was I was extremely dangerous.
Yeah, there's no lookouts.
you know, the technically there really isn't any lookouts because, you know, the cupola.
That's what I always think about. Like, I've only been here foreign twice, I think, but every time you guys mention that, I'm like, I don't know what they would mean by lookouts, because it's like enclosed by a forest.
Right.
So it's just the thing they say before they raid with the Bearcats.
Right, yeah. Right. So it's just kind of, lying that, you know, these people do. And in particular, social workers. So Melissa Coombs, and if anybody's had an involved engagement with her, please email me. jay@jaynoone.com. That's jay@jaynoone.com. And we need to get people's affidavits about the bad actions of DCYF. We have a committee coming up to investigate DCYF. I have submitted an affidavit. My wife has submitted an affidavit, and a handful of other people have, too. The thing is, I'm really noticing is, like, people are, like, just scared so bad. They're, like, just worried that the retaliation that they're going to get for going against DCYF is going to be severe. And, you know, we have an example here. We have a retaliation effort against my wife.
Mm.
Well, when you don't contract with DCYF, DCYF is essentially a corporation. It is a municipal corporation. It doesn't have any jurisdiction to engage with you at all. You have to give them consent. Now, a lot of people step in jurisdictional traps because they take welfare, for example. They ask the family court to get child support from the ex. They get food stamps. They get heating assistance. They get, you know, WIC, you know, whatever these programs that, you know, put their, you know, they do vouchers for schools and things like that. All these things I refer to as jurisdictional traps. So that that puts people under the jurisdiction of DCYF, and they don't even know it. But, and then DCYF shows up people's houses. They scare the crap out of people. They show up with cops. They show up, like, after dark or very early in the morning when people are, and people are terrified. These are actual domestic terrorists.
But one thing you should know
that
is that they're also terrified of you if you stand up for yourself at all, because a friend of, I'm not sure if you guys know him, but a friend of mine, he lives in New Ipswich. And DCF was threatening to go after him after an incident when his baby was born and he wouldn't wear a mask at the hospital. And they were saying, okay, we're going to come over at this time. And it was no one showed up but me. I'm 5'2", like 100 pounds. And I just stood next to the dad. The mom and the babies were all inside. And we just stood at the end of the driveway. They drove by once and, like, obviously, like, staring, like, turning their heads, looking at us, and then called and we're like, we are too uncomfortable to come right now because of what you guys are doing, standing there at the end of the road. And he was like, I'm just waiting for you guys to get here so you can show me your ID. Like, I just need to check your ID. That's all. You can come right on. And not being aggressive, not with a gun or anything. He's also pretty, like, skinny. And they dropped everything against him.
So DCYF
they didn't come that day.
Gets paid to do these assessments. So the assessment that they wanted to do in my case was to, you know, they wanted to inspect my home. They wanted to interview my daughter alone, my 2-year-old daughter alone. And, you know, these people are career child traffickers. They get paid by the federal government like a huge, like thousands of dollars. I the numbers I've heard are between $4,000 and like $8,000 to do this assessment. And then percentages of that money, like some percentage of that money goes to, or actually goes directly, according to Mike Gill, I haven't, you know, got the documents yet, but goes directly to the judge at family court. Some of these this money goes to, like, other programs within the state under this Title IV, you know, section whatever stuff. So, but when somebody doesn't, agree with these guys or doesn't contract with DCYF, because they actually have you sign a release and like a consent form and, you know, things to giving them consent to do this, do these kind of, you know, behaviors. But when someone doesn't do that, DCYF and family court get penalized. And when there's a penalty through this Social Security Administration Title IV stuff, they call it a performance penalty, I believe, in their documents. The state of New Hampshire, that corporation gets less money. They get penalized. They don't get the revenue from the federal government. And as we know, all of these state employees, including Governor Sununu, they're nothing more than just whores. They're just about the money. Like all the COVID money stuff, a reason that they arrested the Noble 9, for example, and the Noble 8, you know, and the Newfields 8 got arrested, was because they were protesting this whorish attitude of the governor, for example, because they just want this money from the federal government. So now what we have going on here is they engage in retaliation efforts, and that's exactly what's going on, you know, with my wife's case. And So these guys, and the judges are all covering it up. You know, there's a massive conflict of interest here because the judges' pension fund benefits quite generously from the performance of DCYF. Now, these guys got really, really upset because I said, no, I don't want someone from DCYF doing this assessment, but the local chief of police can do it. And his lieutenant, who's a woman. And, you know, these guys aren't woke libtards that, you know, just went out of, you know, that came from some college, you know, that is being funded by all of Jeffrey Epstein's friends, like the Clintons, and, you know, just, you know, go on with the name. And hopefully this client list comes out. Because you like literally, my wife has had more like courtroom time than everybody combined on Jeffrey Epstein's,
Didn't the Concord police get involved because they didn't feel like the Hinsdale police were sufficiently on the side of the DCYF?
No, the thing happened in Concord, and the cop who showed up at the scene, you know, was the one who, filed the...
So are they claiming that what happened in Concord was, what's the term they're using?
Child endangerment.
Endangerment?
Yep.
They're claiming that specifically was an endangerment
Correct.
Thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So anyways...
So now they have to prove to a jury that that's the case, right?
Right.
That your child will be better off in the hands of other people because your wife left him in a climate-controlled car for a brief period of time.
Correct. So the thing is what really upsets... Like, even the local police are like, we don't understand these guys. You know, you don't understand this. Upset, you know, DCYF and all of these, you know, career child traffickers is when they're not going to get the money from the federal government. And when we're like, hey, the police can do this assessment, and the order says a police officer can do it. I have emails from supervisors and lawyers between the Henniker Chief of Police and DCYF supervisors and lawyers where they're like, oh, no, there has to be a DCYF social worker there. And the order clearly states a police officer or a social worker can do this assessment. And since the motivation of the social workers is really, really bad and they really want to steal healthy, good-looking children and adopt them out because it's very, very lucrative for their careers. And these people are literally brainwashed and, and incentivized and influenced. And, you know, they believe, you know, that this is, you know, how things got to work. So thanks for bringing that up and giving me an opportunity to, you know, explain this again here live on the air. And, go to jnoon.com and check out that Jotform, box on the top of the page to investigate DCYF. We're going to update that with another notice that we'll be putting out very soon here to try to correct the situation that we have here with corrupt government. And maladministration.
Yeah, it's an important thing. And that guy who called in, who's kind of like a DCYF fighting celebrity, what's his name?
I forget his name. Oh, Mike Gill?
Mike Gill.
Yep.
He was like, oh, Jay, you should just stop because you know, you're never going to win in court. But the thing is, I think it's great that you're standing up. Like, people just don't stand up to these people.
He's literally worried they're going to whack me. Or they're going to try to come at me with other things.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You USA News Update. Did President Biden play a role in his son's non-cooperation with a congressional subpoena? House Republicans are currently probing allegations that he may have advised his son, Hunter Biden, not to cooperate with their impeachment inquiry. Senior U.S. officials from the Biden administration took part in what's being called a very productive meeting with their Mexican counterparts yesterday about migration. In southwest Miami-Dade County, yesterday afternoon, a helicopter crash claimed the life of a man and left a woman hospitalized. The victims have not been identified. Fox News anchor and reporter Matt Napolitano passed away at the age of 33 in New York City after a brief illness. His husband, Ricky Whitcomb, saying he had been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease almost two decades ago. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever's on your mind, and I want to tell you about ForkFest 2024. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, ForkFest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at ForkFest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th. ForkFest.party. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
And tonight we've been talking about all kinds of different things, but I just wanted to switch the subject up. I've had this article for a little bit in my show prep, and it's from December 9th from the Wall Street Journal, and it says, a moving company touts its young, chiseled workers. The feds say that's age discrimination. And that's so messed up.
What?
The government is so involved with freaking businesses.
Well, the government is just has this just double standard of, like, the feds are putting effort into this, and, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's clients are, like, you know, still free and roaming after they've been raping children for years. I mean, you know, it just shows that there's a whole bunch of pedophiles in charge of everything at the federal level.
They're not doing stuff that's important or that helps you out, listener, that's for sure. It says, Biden appointed EEOC commissioners are taking closer look at alleged age bias.
What is EEOC?
That I don't know.
Some kind of garbage ESG nonsense.
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. But it looks like we have a caller on the line. Rob in Vermont, what's on your mind, Rob?
Hey, guys, how's it going this evening?
Good. What's on your mind, Rob?
So I wanted to plug a couple of names out there. You know, Jay was talking about the experience that he's had with the Department of Child Welfare and the family court. And, you know, if you go onto YouTube, you can find Jay's videos in there, specifically the one where the Department of Child Welfare come, you know, to his house. And, you know, these people, they don't care. It's all about the money for them. They just don't care about, you know, people's rights or any of that kind of stuff. But the other thing I wanted to say was that I wanted to plug a couple other names. I read a book called The Respondent. It came out about 2 or 3 years ago. And it's about the same situation of what, you know, Jay has, you know, they tried on Jay and myself, where the Department of Child Welfare comes to your home. You know, you're ambushed into, you know, any allegation, you know, the whole element about this is surprise. And if you don't know your rights or don't know how to stand up for yourself, and if you contract with the state, you're done, you're toast. It's like trying to fight a ghost. But if you read this book, The Respondent, and the author's name is Greg Ellis, it'll give you a lot of information on how he fought, you know, the courts, how he fought the child welfare. You know, he had lost his children, but he had got them all back. And this guy is just campaigning.
Well, it's nice to get your kids back, but it's really awful to have them taken.
Yeah, have to fight them.
There's no win to this. It's just varying degrees of losing.
Exactly, and that happened out of California. And then there was another gentleman, his name is Dwight Mitchell, and I believe he's from Minnesota. And same thing happened with him. They took the children. He didn't get them back till 18, 19 months later. And, you know, what they didn't realize, the state, was that Dwight Mitchell is an engineer. And the type of engineer work that he does is he's hired by companies to go in and do assessments of how the company runs, the payroll and stuff like that. And they didn't realize how much, you know, knowledge that Mr. Mitchell had and how he was able to get his children back. And I think he even sued, but both of these individuals have a lot to offer and should be, you know, followed, definitely.
What's the name of the book again?
All right, the name of the book is called The Respondent.
Oh.
And the author's name is Greg Ellis.
Well,
and
thanks
then
so much,
the other
Rob.
Gentleman's thank you. Have a good evening.
No, if you have more to say, go ahead. Sorry, I thought there was only one for some reason.
Okay, and then, well, the other gentleman's name is Dwight Mitchell, and he's from Minnesota. And again, both of these individuals have their own YouTube channels, and they should be definitely watched.
Interesting. Jay, if you win the jury one? Well, if your wife wins the jury one, are you planning on suing?
Oh, either way, we're planning on bringing a tort claim against these guys.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, well, you know, it's,
if you didn't mind it, saying,
yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, there has to be a correction.
Mm-hmm.
So we already have an investigation, a legislative committee to investigate DCYF,
mm-hmm.
Which is going forward. DCYF, we have clear evidence of wrongdoing by DCYF, and the thing is, if they're just going to make up, this particular social worker is going to just make up straight up blatant lies, saying the police said this, you know, one of the things that has to happen to her is some independent committee, not some, you know, not somebody in the government who collects a pension fund, so that, like, and I think that New Hampshire is one of the only places this is going to happen. I'm sorry. So somebody independent has to investigate these guys and has to look through all the court filings of this particular social worker because she's a known liar. And also she is being defended by this attorney, Ross McLeod, who is also like a known career dirtbag here in New Hampshire. You just ask anybody, you know, who's paying attention to politics. As soon as I mention his name, is like it really raises some eyebrows because he's like, you know, there's a lot of accusations, you know, about this guy who's just, you know, a hardcore leftist, and you know, is, you know, like supports all of the radical left stuff.
The one I called Harry Potter.
I don't know who that is. I'm saying just, you know, Ross McLeod, who's an attorney for DCYF.
Oh, I was talking about the whoever the attorney is that's, like, against your wife in the courtroom.
Oh, that was
Peter Pan, that's what
yeah,
I called
that
him.
Was the, oh, the soy boy Concord City's prosecutor guy.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, Peter Pan. but anyways, Ross McLeod, for example, who's this attorney that files these contempt orders, he submits them into the court on the behalf of the social workers. And the thing is the reason they're submitting these contempt orders is because people aren't agreeing to the assessment order, and the assessment order doesn't order a mom or dad. It orders a police officer or a social worker to do this assessment.
But they're just treating it as if, oh, well, you're ordered to let me in your house.
Right. So
crazy.
So they're falsifying, they're misrepresenting. This is called maladministration. And this guy does it over and over and over again, this Ross McLeod. And he was also the same lawyer that was involved with, you know, the trespass on J.R. Holt. Literally, this Ross McLeod has cost millions of dollars of liabilities to the people of New Hampshire. And he's not even employed by DCYF. He's employed by the Attorney General's office. And of course, because he collects probably out of...
They got money to burn, Jay.
Right. Well, and they collect money out of the judicial pension fund, and they're members of this pension fund, and this pension fund gets, you know, heavily contributed from this Title 4D Social Security Administration based on the performance of Family Court and DCYF. So these guys are career criminals, and they are bad actors. And you know, the thing is, you know, this needs to be exposed. So these guys are going to be investigated by the legislature. Now, the reason that New Hampshire is so great and as many people who love liberty should move here as possible is because New Hampshire is one of the few states, maybe the only state, that has an actual volunteer. Like, there's $100 per year stipend. $100 is nothing. It's like a tank of gas in your pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
So they are given $100 a year to be a state representative. And because there is 400 of these state representatives, and there's only like 1.3 million people, you know, in New Hampshire, the lobbyists have to buy like 250 of these guys. They have to lobby hard to only basically, you know, effectively, you know, apply whatever they want to lobby to 1.3 million people. It's not lucrative for lobbyists to lobby the legislature in New Hampshire when they got places like Massachusetts, you know, where there's tens of millions of people, or California or Connecticut, and there's very few legislators that you can lobby, and therefore, you know, you can rein your will, and, you know, essentially lobbying for the lobbyists, lobbying the government, you know, means that they essentially, these lobbyists' interests get richer and richer, but based off rules and legislation. That doesn't really happen in New Hampshire because of the essential volunteer citizenry legislature we have here. So we have a legislature that doesn't have a legislative pension fund. And based on what I'm understanding about this Social Security Administration Title IV financial incentives, that are based on the performance of DCYF, all these states are getting all kinds of money, and a whole bunch of pension funds are getting money, not just a judicial pension fund, but like all kinds of money is flowing into these states. So the legislatures of all these states that were, you know, like Massachusetts, New York, California, Illinois, you know, the states that are just basically cesspools, are totally compromised. Here in New Hampshire, they're not.
Well, one thing I want to say is that people should definitely in New Hampshire at least push back against this progressive idea that, oh, it's bad that we only pay the state representatives $100 a year here, because that just means that only rich people can do it. I think that's ridiculous, because not that many people I know that do it are rich. Sure, a lot of them are old, so have something to be doing, or have nothing to be doing.
Right. What happens is that we end up with a lot of people that are over the, you know, the retirement age and that sort of thing. So
doesn't it doesn't even seem like a lot compared to like how old New Hampshire is. Like there's tons of young ones that, or at least like middle.
There are more now, because my guess is the Free Staters are very dedicated to being there, but there's a lot of them that are, especially, you know, 20 years ago, there's a lot of old people, because they're the only ones that had the free time.
But the idea needs to be turned into an actual, like, we need a living wage in the legislature is ridiculous.
Are they saying that?
No, they are. They really are saying that. I don't know why I said no. But they are, like, progressives on Twitter, especially this one short-haired progressive House of Representative person in New Hampshire. She posts about that. She says, like, the way that we have it right now, only retired people and the rich can really do this. But so we need, like, a living wage. And it's just, that's absolutely ridiculous. The idea that we need an incentive for just anyone to want to go do that is so stupid.
I kind of think that the... I don't doubt for a second that that's happening, but I feel like this isn't going to go anywhere in New Hampshire, that most people are happy with the $100 a year that the representatives get and that sort of thing. And I think there's advantages to it. I wouldn't call it a perfect system by any stretch. It's worth pointing out that New Hampshire is marginally freer than, you know, the rest of the states, and that it, you know, I mean, our legislator only managed to save us that much. And whereas, you know, I'm in Florida right now, Florida's number two, it pays its representatives. I think everybody else pays their representatives besides New Hampshire. And I'm not advocating for paying representatives, just saying that New Hampshire needs support. this one fact isn't going to save it.
Wait, I'm a little confused by what you mean there. What do you mean? You mean that New Hampshire's doing bad?
No, New Hampshire's doing well as far as liberty goes, and it'll probably be the freest state in the union at some point. I do wonder how free it can get, because it can only get as free as a state can get. But at this time, the citizen legislature isn't going to save New Hampshire. It needs more. It needs more things. You know, people getting involved in the government. You know, people who want to spend their lives getting in there and voting.
About, you got to think about, there's the backlash. There's the pendulum swing because, Free Staters really want to get into the legislature and they get really into it. And then there's the pendulum swing of the Democrats that for some reason the Free Staters who were in the legislature all decided were the enemy. No, the enemy's not the state. No, what's her name? Leah Cushman. She is going to still vote for you to not be able to do drugs because, you know, she claims to be like a libertarian because, well, she doesn't want to piss off the Republicans because the real enemy is the Democrat. And I'm not just picking on her. It's just a great example. It's what happens when everybody, all these freesters get into the state house. They suddenly are just like, the enemy is the Democrats. We just want to be a little tiny bit better instead of like much better. And since they do that, all of the Democrats are just going to pendulum swing right back and get really serious about being in the
Bonnie, state. I don't think that there's any. I don't think there's any solving the Democrat problem. I moved to New Hampshire in 2006, and the Democrats were dead set against us there. I don't know why the Democrats are dead set against the Free Staters.
That's
it
what
seems
I'm saying.
Like they,
I could tell
they
you.
I know why. Because
well,
the
no,
people
no.
that
I'll tell you why. Because they're evil. Right. That's why. I've watched these people, Bonnie. We tried to work with them for a long time. We were like, hey, bring us your issues. We'll work with you when you're in power on the issues. They're like, no, you want what we want for the wrong reasons. And they wouldn't work with us. They've shut us down.
Mark,
every
you're acting like, who is we? Like, because you're acting like the people I'm talking about, Free Staters, ever did any of this. No. Are you even on Twitter?
Yes, we did. Well, I don't know what happens on Twitter. I know what happens in the New Hampshire State House.
You weren't in the New Hampshire State House.
No, but he paid attention.
Give one example instead of just saying a thing. Give an example.
Sure. The getting rid of the death penalty. I've tried to work with more than one rep on this particular issue, and they didn't want to talk to me. They're like, they would not speak to me about the issue.
Okay, drugs. I talked to one on my street who's a keen Democrat, and she listened to me and put in the bill that she was already planning on putting in, so it's not really like I did it or anything, but it's not like she didn't, she said, go F yourself, I'm not going to put it in because you're a Free Stater. She knows exactly who I am and who Ian is.
I think that
there's one example you gave. I gave one example back.
Whatever bill you put in.
And I'm not.
I hope
you're arguing against something other than what I'm saying. You're arguing against something other than what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is that Democrats traditionally in New Hampshire have hated our guts. That's all I'm saying.
And here's why, because the Democrats are like clearly the parasite class. Especially they, them, and those that, you know, get a tax paycheck. They get a paycheck from the taxpayers. So the Democrats are definitely the kind of people who couldn't put food on the table without being subsidized by the government, for the most part. I do believe a lot of them would pull up their big boy pants and actually go do something to provide for themselves if they didn't have their, you know, bureaucratic parasite job. Now, the mission statement of the Free State Project is to reduce government to its maximum authority as a protection of life, liberty, and property.
But how many of them know that?
A lot of them. So when that happens, that means all of their pension funds would cease to exist immediately. None of these guys would have a pension fund if the only purpose of government was to protect life, liberty, and property. Because the only way they can have a pension fund is to point guns at people and force them to pay taxes.
But the people in the state house don't have pension funds.
That's true. I think that the Democrats' time in New Hampshire State House is gone. At this point, they're a minor party. I believe that enough Democrats have left New Hampshire because they see that it is too difficult to win any kind of positions. They're never going to have a majority status again, and that therefore
they clawed back from the first year that I moved here to the second year. They clawed back a whole bunch more seats.
They don't get them linearly. They get them during years with presidential runs. Did they get a majority?
No, it's like 50-50, as 50-50 as it can be. And so, it wasn't a year.
Here's another thing, too. The Democrats are also genociding themselves. So, like, they're literally pushing things like abortion, for example, as like a, you know, like a prerequisite to like even being cool in their club. Like, you know, all girls should have abortions. They're literally, you know, so abortion as, you know, a form of contraceptive. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, like I used to be sort of like pro-life. Now I'm more like, well, if you want to have an abortion, you probably shouldn't be a parent.
Yeah.
That's my thought, too.
And
if you want an abortion, please get one.
Yeah. And so it's like, but also like, I mean, I don't know if like, so in New Hampshire, if you kill a pregnant mom, are you being charged with, vehicular homicide? Like you drive your car into a pregnant mom? Are you being charged with double homicide?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then if the law is going to be consistent, you know, like it's supposed to be, sounds like it'd be murder if you, you know, going to apply consistency. It sounds like abortion would be murder.
Well, I don't think there's really any point in making the laws consistent. They just, like, they're inconsistent for other reasons.
Sure.
But one thing about it is that person wanted that baby to be alive, and I think that actually does matter. And I know people are like, oh, so it's just whether or not the baby you want it. I get that that might not make much sense, but it has to be an actual factor. Like, do I want to do this labor of giving this baby life, or do I not?
So what if the mom was on the way to the abortion clinic and had a scheduled appointment, and she gets, you know, killed in a, you know, some kind of horrific accident, and her and a baby, or just a baby die, you know, and maybe the mom lives, you know, then it's a vehicular homicide on the part of the baby.
Well, because the prosecutor wants to get them in jail for as long as possible because we have laws, not because, like, normal people are sitting around thinking about
it. Right, right. The courts are not about justice. In fact, I'm doing some pretty heavy-duty research. These courts are actually just financial institutions. They're just banks. All they do is charge and discharge, and every time the judge creates an order, it's essentially a money order. But one of the things about with these Democrats, another thing that they're doing with the whole, like, gender nonsense is, so the Democrats, the left, so I've been studying some statistics on, like, internet device usage of young children, and it is leftist families, it is leftist parents that are heavily allowing their children to use the internet devices. So in this study, Mark, that I sent you, it's called Children's Health in the Digital Age. They talk about how in 2016 that children from 3 to 9 years old and also from 13 to 19 years old, I don't know why they leave out 10, 11, and 12 in this study, because it's weird to me. But anyways, according to the metadata of the apps, in 2016, those kids were using those internet devices 7 hours per day. And in 2021, they were using the internet device 9 hours per day. So basically, you have kids that are using internet devices like 9 hours a day, and then you have kids like mine that are just not using internet devices at all. So what I am observing, and based on this study and articles I've read and just, you know, listening to, like, you know, TED Talks and YouTube videos, you know, while I'm working or driving or something, it is the leftist, you know, career-minded, like, especially, like, you know, non-traditional moms that are going to work that are hardcore leaning on these internet devices as pacifiers and babysitters, and they're destroying their own youth.
I don't think that there's a large percentage of people, if you divide people into who votes Republican and who votes Democrat, it seems like the Democrat voters who are wealthy moms going to work, you know, using devices as some kind of child-rearing, you know, gadget. I think that they're a low percentage of the people who vote Democrat who have children. I think those children are a low percentage.
Well, 603-283-6160, and if you have something you want to bring up, you can call that number. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. More coming up.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.